Morning. Good morning. I got up here a couple of seconds late. I'm all right. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us this morning. We are glad to have you. I'm especially glad to see each and every one of you. Several announcements to get us started before I turn it over to Preacher Arnie so we can get started this morning. First of all, do not forget about homecoming coming up, our 31st homecoming coming up June 9th, and also a wedding celebration for the Garnetts that Sunday. No, it's not what it is. That's the Creek. I'm getting my stuff mixed up. That's at the Creek. The Creek is the Garnetts wedding celebration, huh? Read what's in the bulletin. The Creek is the Garnetts wedding celebration. Sorry, I'm crossing over here a little bit. Don't forget about our Wednesday night services. Our youth and children, we meet down at the building. Our adults, we meet up here at 6:30. Tonight at 5 o'clock, youth, we are going to meet here and we are going to go to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. They're going to have a joint worship. They're going to have an ice cream social and they're going to have a kickball game. I talked to my sister over there, and she said to wear old shoes because it is muddy, and that's okay. It makes it more fun. So old clothes, old shoes. I'm going to be here. We're going to plan on leaving it around 5-ish, but I'm going to be here a little bit before 5 with pizza. So if you want to come eat, I'll have pizza here for us to eat before we take off because they're just having ice cream there. Don't forget about our breakfast. That first Saturday's coming up again. Real quick on us. On that June the 1st, don't forget about that breakfast. And like I say, once again, the fellowship at the Creek is the 26th, and our homecoming is coming up June the 9th. I don't think I have any more announcements. Miss Joy, you have anything today? If that's it, I would just invite you to let's come together and worship together today as we honor and worship our God and our risen Savior.
Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well today. And as we begin our time of worship, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbly bowing before your throne. Dear Lord, I know there's a lot of things on people's hearts right now. A lot of things going on with them, going on in their lives. And I ask that you just bless them, dear Lord. I ask that you just move in a special way. Dear Lord, I ask you to fill the emptiness that some are feeling. I ask you to take away the pain. I ask you to take away the doubt. But dear Lord, we ask that you have your way with us, that you guide and direct us, and that we trust you with everything that we have. Dear Lord, show up today. Send your spirit to move among your people. Show out today so that we will feel the power of the Holy Spirit today. As we go through this service, whether it's us talking, us singing, or preaching your word, may you receive all the honor and glory for it. Bless us today. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing together our call to worship, page 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms,
333. What a blessed bed, what a peace is one, leaning on the everlasting arms. With Jesus, leaning with Jesus, safe and secure from all our hearts. May Jesus, leaning on the everlasting heart. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, God has peace with my Lord to fear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, Lord Jesus, stay secure from all harms. Lord Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Thank you. And we will continue worship by giving of our gifts and tithes. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our many blessings. I pray now that you take these gifts of our tithes and offerings, bless them, bless the giver, for it is your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing our hymn of praise, 411, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, 411.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to His word, to rest upon His promise, just to know Jesus, how I trust in you. Jesus, precious Jesus, for the grace to trust in more. Oh, it's so bad to trust you, precious Jesus, and your friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I will give more and more. Jesus, oh, what grace to trust Him more.
Amen. Thank you.
Four this morning. I got a couple. I see four. All right, guys. So today, Izzy, what you doing? You looking the wrong way. Today, we talked about this in youth this morning. Today is a very special day in the history of the church. Not Crestview Baptist Church. The church, as in the people of God, the body of believers. Does anybody know what that might be? It's a really big word, or a hard word. It's called Pentecost. Heard that word before?
It is the day that the church, that we acknowledge that when Jesus left, he sent us the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Now, this lesson that I found wanted me to bring a windsock. Do you guys know what a windsock is? All right, so instead of bringing a windsock, we're going to make one when we go out to Children's Church, and I'm going to show you what it is. It's kind of like a flag, but it's a round tube, and some of them have little tassels on the end of it, and when wind blows it, it blows and shakes in the wind. Now, so has anybody here ever saw the wind before? You guys ever, you saw the wind? You can't see the wind, right? So if you saw it, I'd like to know about how you saw it, but you can't see the wind. So how do you know it's there? Oh, it makes things move. That's right. If you guys, we got flags hanging up out here, and when the wind's blowing, those flags, they really just go, right? So we know the wind is there because we can see it. The wind does a lot of things for it. It helps us cool off when we're hot. It cleans the air from smog. It can be used to power homes. Did you know wind, we can get power from wind? What other things do wind do? Does anybody else know what wind does? Nothing? Nobody else? All right, so we're going to talk some more about that stuff, but God's Spirit is kind of like the wind. Did you know that? We can't see the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is very important, and it's always with us. Just like the wind, you can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. If it's blowing leaves or blowing a flag, you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see what the Holy Spirit does. So, when God sent his Holy Spirit to his people, he waited till after. So Jesus came, he lived on this earth, and he died, and then he was raised from the dead. And he stayed on the earth for about 40 days. And so, the disciples had Jesus with them, and they didn't want to be left alone. And Jesus said, you're not going to be left alone. I'm going to send the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to live with you. And so they waited, and they all got together in this room, and it says that they heard a mighty rushing wind the first time the Holy Spirit came. Can you go, whoosh. Can you make that noise? Let's do it together. One, two, three. Whoosh. I would love to have heard what it been, would have been like, but like I could have, it would have been like tornado wind if I think about it. But so many churches still celebrate this special day. And like I said, we call it Pentecost. Like a bunch of believers were gathered together, and the wind and some other awesome things happened. It said that tongues of fire came down. People started talking in different languages. And we're going to talk some more about that stuff when we get outside. Some awesome things happened. The Holy Spirit helped them share God's message of love to everyone around them. That's what the language is for. And the Holy Spirit also gives us boldness to go out and like tell people about Jesus. It's also, if you do something wrong, and it's also there to convict you, to say, in your, you ever done something wrong and get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, oh, I messed up. You ever done that? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, saying, guess what? You messed up. You need to make it right. The Holy Spirit is a big part of us, and it is a big part of God and who he is. And so as we go out, we're going to make those wind socks, and we are going to learn some more stuff about the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to sit right here. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for these guys and girls. Thank you for the opportunity we have to learn and to just worship you together. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, which you give us to come and live with us here on this earth. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
is God, and what's left, only, only is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lord who was slain, only, only is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Golden rainbow of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Let's sing in all our strength and glory about Thee, to You the only one I sing. Holy, 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 with Thou art God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I adore You. Holy, holy, You are holy. Awestruck wonder at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, 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 God. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Holy, 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 it's the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. You are my king, and I will adore You. You are my king, and I will adore You.
Thank you, choir. That is one of my favorite songs. The next few weeks, I am going to be sharing some messages that will help, hopefully, with what is going to be going on over the next several months here at Crestview. And today, the title is very important for us to understand. Myself and what God is doing in my life, and for the church and what God is doing in the life of the church. And that is trust in the Lord. And if you will turn to Proverbs chapter 3, I've shared these verses before, but we're only going to look at one of these verses today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And if you will stand as I read this, and standing is in the honor of God's holy word and giving it the respect that it so richly deserves. And this is what we see written here by Solomon in verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what we see written here in this one single verse. How full it is of what we need to understand about being Christians and following you. Speak through me today and help us to understand what your word says. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. This is the first point that I want to make today, is that in this one verse, and it's not a very long verse, there are two ways we are to trust God. Two ways. Look at it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The first way is you trust God with all your heart. With everything that you've got, you trust God. Now, these two ways, and I'm going to mention the second one later, they cannot be separated. Okay? You can't do one of them and not do the other. They are interdependent upon each other. So let's look at this first way with all of our hearts. Well, there's four ways to trust the Lord with all your heart. These are four different ways that will help you know how or help you trust God with all your heart. The first is remember that God can be trusted. Now let me ask you this question. Has God ever not kept his word? No, he has not. There is not one single place in his word where God didn't do what he said he was going to do or didn't keep his promise. Now, he didn't do it on our timetable, did he? You remember back when he told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son. What did Sarah do? Laughed. How can I have a kid? And I'm an old woman. And God says, you think you're old now? Just wait. And I honestly think, this is the truth. God had a plan even then. He knew how Sarah was going to react. And he wanted to prove something to her. Those of you that have had children, you had a kid that was nagging at you and you just made them wait on purpose just to get back at them for aggravating the snot out of you. Joe, you're laughing. I know you did that to Mark, didn't you? If you ask me one more time, you know, thankfully God's not like that. But I do believe God's got a sense of humor. And when Sarah laughed, God already knew. He's like, you laughing now, I'm going to give you something to really laugh about. And he waited. But did he ever not fulfill that promise? Even when Abraham and Sarah tried to fulfill it for him, God's like, uh-uh. That's not the way it's supposed to work. I promised you something, I'm going to give it to you. But I want you to look at this verse right here in Joshua 1:9. Okay, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now you think about when he said this. He was talking to Joshua. They had just come out. They had experienced the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Going back and forth with Pharaoh about being released and not being released, and the plagues and the Passover. And they had come out, and Joshua and Caleb had gone into the promised land and came back and said, yes, it is everything that God promised. The other spies came back and said, yeah, it's everything God promised, but he didn't tell us about these giants and all these other things that we're going to have to deal with when we get there. And they said, no, we can't do it. We can't take the land. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. God has already given it to us. We can take it. And you guys know something? In that 40 years of wandering, a trip that should have taken 1 week took them 40 years. During that 40 years, he got rid of that generation that said, we can't do it. The other 10 spies, they were dead. All that generation, the only ones left from that generation was Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they both said, God has already done it. We can trust him. So, after 40 years, Moses had been taken up onto the mountain and shown the promised land. But God told him, because of his disobedience and striking the rock the second time instead of speaking to it, God told him, you will never step foot into the promised land. But he took him up onto the mountaintop and allowed him to see what he had promised. And there Moses died. And God tells Joshua, the second in command, that you're the leader now. And he tells him, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble, because your God will be with you always. He can be trusted. He has never failed us. He has never turned his back on us. And he will never leave us. He can be trusted. The second way that we can trust God with our whole heart is to remember that God cares. He cares. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he what? cares for you. I have told you many times how intimately God cares about us. Guys, think about this. The church is called the what of Christ? The bride of Christ. How intimately does a husband know his bride and the bride know her husband? The Bible says that two become one flesh. They become one person. I tried that with Ginger the other day when I was trying to eat her food. I looked at her. She was fussing at me for eating a bite of her omelet. And I looked at her. I said, hey, the Bible says that we're one. And so when I eat your food, you're getting the benefits from it too. She just looked at me like, you're stupid. That's not what the Bible's talking about, by the way. Don't misinterpret what it says. I was trying to be funny with my wife, but there's an intimacy. But God's intimacy goes even further than that. His care for us goes even further than that. What does David say in Psalm? Before I was born, you what? Knew me. Before you knit me together in my mother's womb, you knew me. Jesus says that even though God cares about the flowers of the field and the grass and cares about the bird of the sky, how much more does our Father care about us? Guys, you realize out of all creation, Jesus died for us. Now, I want you to understand something, that sin has affected all of creation. But we are the ones that He died and shed His blood to redeem. And when He returns, Revelation tells us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and He is going to redeem all of creation, not to save everybody, but creation itself that has been affected by sin. He's going to redeem those, and it's all going to be made new. The Bible says that. Everything's going to pass away, and the new heaven and new earth is going to be formed and created. We that have accepted Christ as our saviors, that accepted Christ and that He paid the price with His blood, we are going to be there. Those that reject Him aren't. Not because that's the way God wants it, but because He is a holy God and He is a just God. And He has given us a way out. And those that accept it are saved. Those that reject it aren't. Period. There's no living a good life and doing all this stuff and giving away your money and you make it to heaven because you're good enough. No, there's nobody good enough. We get there because God cared about us. And He says that He knows us so intimately that He even knows the numbers of the hair on our head. For some of us, that's not too difficult. For others, He knows what hair falls out because He cares for us. And the third way of knowing or being able to trust God with your whole heart is to remember that God is with you. Unlike a popular opinion or belief that the Creator just wound everything up and just left us at our own devices, and He's just sitting back and watching what a mess we can make of His creation, that's not what God does. You see, before God spoke the world into existence, He already had a plan. He had a plan to redeem His fallen creation. That plan was for Jesus Christ to come, to walk among us, to walk among His creation, to take flesh and be one of us. To feel the pain of being human. To feel the struggle of being human. And understand what it meant to be human. But then He had another plan. That His Son, Jesus, would die on the cross. Be raised on the third day to give us forgiveness of sin. That He would also ascend into heaven to sit at His right hand until it was time for Him to return. But even then, He still did not leave us. Because He told those 100 or so disciples to wait until that which He had promised had come. And Chad already spoke about Pentecost. And as they were gathered in the upper room there at the temple, and they were praying and worshiping, that the room was filled with the Holy Spirit as a rushing mighty wind, and the flame, the tongues of flame set upon their head, and they all began speaking in a different tongue, and that everybody that was around that heard all of this heard what was being said in their own language. This is not the gift of tongues that some denominations practice. This is something that people understood. And Peter, as he began to preach that Pentecostal sermon, everybody heard it in their own language. Didn't matter if they talked Spanish, French, Roman, Greek, Italian, you know, whatever, Hebrew. They heard it in their own language. And God moved. Why? Because He never left us. He is with us. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 28:20. This is the last verse of the Great Commission, but it's the important verse. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. And then the fourth way, that you trust God with your whole heart is to remember that God has a plan for you. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Guys, listen. That hope that Jeremiah is writing about here, you guys know who that is? When Jeremiah wrote these words, he was talking about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, the hope of all mankind. That was his plan. Guys, we have the same plan now, except we don't look forward to the coming of the Messiah. He's already came. We look forward to Him coming back and getting us, keeping His promise. But He has a plan for each and every one of you. And the plan is to prosper you, not to hurt you. His plan may be difficult. Guys, trust me. I understand that His plans are difficult to understand sometimes. But He has to be trusted. You have to trust His plan. His plan is perfect. His plan will take you to places you never thought you would go. and do things that you never thought you would be able to do. But He has a plan for you. Then the second way that we are to trust God is not leaning on our own understanding. When I said that these things cannot be separated, you have to look at it this way. You cannot trust God with your whole heart and then trust your own understanding. And you can't trust your own understanding and trust God with everything. They can't be separated. They have to be done together. For example, go back to Abraham and Sarah. God made them a promise that He would give them a son. As they continued to get older and God was still saying, wait, it wasn't time yet. Did they trust God with their whole heart? Honestly, it's okay to answer out loud. No, they didn't. Had he trusted God all the way up through everything? Yeah, when he told Abraham to leave Ur to a land which he had was going to show him, did he get up and go? Yes, he left everything. But he didn't trust God with his whole heart all throughout. Remember when they came to Egypt and Abraham told Sarai, she was a pretty woman, she was a looker. Whew. And the Pharaoh there in Egypt, he looked at her and goes, wow. And he told Sarah, he says, tell him you're my sister because I don't want him to kill me and take you as his wife. So she did. And then God told Pharaoh, that's another man's wife. And then Pharaoh got angry. Didn't just happen once. That happened twice to two different kings. That Abraham did not trust God with his whole heart. So when Sarai came with this idea of giving Abraham an heir, he took it. He didn't trust God with his whole heart. But God still was a God of His promises. He still fulfilled His promise to make Abraham a great nation and gave him a son. And they named him Isaac, which means laughter. After that point, Abraham trusted God with his whole heart, with everything that he had, because God kept His promise. See, when they were trying to lean on their own understanding, it was impossible for them to trust God with everything. Because sometimes God doesn't make sense to us. But He's got a plan. And here is why we cannot trust our own understanding, because we lack some things. We lack the ability to completely comprehend all possible options and contingencies. You guys realize what that means? We have a finite mind. We can understand beginning and ending. We cannot see all possible endings or outcomes at the same time. We just don't have that ability. Our brain does not work that way. But look what Isaiah 55:8-9 says. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We cannot think like God thinks. So we can't trust our own thoughts, our own understanding. Because we want things to make sense. We want things to be rational. But God does things that are irrational. He says things that we think are impossible. Why does He do things that way? So we can't take credit for it. He does it that way so that He gets the honor, He gets the glory. Now you think about this. If there was a way for us to give salvation to people and forgiveness of sins, would we would have done it different than having somebody die? Probably. But God knew what He was doing. There was only one person that was able to do that for the entire world. And that was Jesus, the Son of God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we cannot begin to comprehend the mind of God. That's where trusting Him with your whole heart comes in. The second thing that we lack in our ability to trust our own comprehension is we lack the righteousness and wisdom to choose the right course. Jesus says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." Let me ask you a question. How are we made righteous? Is it from something that we did? No. But it's because of what He did. It's the work of the Holy Spirit renewing us, making us into the image of Christ. That is where our righteousness comes from. Look at Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Now, you realize what that's saying? When we go by what we want, or by our understanding and what we think is the right thing to do, and we go without God, it says it's the way of death. Jesus says it this way: "Narrow is the way that leads to righteousness or salvation, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that go that way." Why? Because that's the way that makes sense. We don't understand. We can't comprehend because we don't have the righteousness and wisdom to choose the right course. And then the final thing that we lack in our understanding is the power to make reality conform to the right course. Well, think about what I just said. The power to conform reality. Lamentations, and you don't hear a lot of sermons preached out of Lamentations, but look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 37 and 38. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? It is not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth. Now let's look at this. The disciples were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and a big storm came up. There's a couple of different stories where they're out there on the ocean or on the Sea of Galilee and a big storm came up, aren't there? There's a couple of different stories. One, Jesus walks on the water. Is that possible? For Jesus, it was. But the story that I'm talking about, Jesus was asleep. And they're like, wake him up, wake him up. And they go wake Jesus up. And they said, we're all going to die. And he just shakes his head at them. He says, you guys are crazy. And what does he do? He says, does it. He just speaks it. Peace be still. And what happened? That Sea of Galilee became like glass. You guys realize what just happened when he said, peace be still. He conformed reality to prove something to them. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. By just his voice. God caused a donkey to talk. Is that possible? No. But God is the God of the impossible. A 90-something-year-old woman had a baby. Is that possible? No. But God is the God of impossibilities. There is a joke. A lot of preachers like to tell this joke. They said that there was a scientist that had died, and God met him. And he says, we have made such great advances in science that we don't need you. We have killed you. And he goes, really? Prove it. He said, he spoke and created something. And the scientist said, we can do that too. And he bent down and started to take the dirt and mold it. And then God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Make your own dirt. You guys realize that God is the only one that can make something out of nothing? God is the only one that can take a bunch of fishermen and a tax collector and change the world through their preaching. He is the only one that can take 66 books that were written over hundreds and hundreds of years by people that did not always know each other and bring them together to make a book that regardless of what the New York Times says is still the number one selling book in the history of the world, the Holy Bible. And from Genesis to Revelation, it all fits together like this. My starting passage was one verse out of Proverbs. But I have read seven other passages that go along with that verse, showing you that that one verse is true. Because God made it that way. So we have to trust God with all our hearts. As we move forward, we have to trust God. Not trusting ourselves, but trusting Him because He is the only one that knows best. So as we've come to our time of invitation, here is my challenge. Are you trusting God with all you've got? Are you trusting God with your whole heart? Or are you still trying to figure things out on your own? Are you trusting yourself more than you trust God? You can't have it both ways. You can't. And there are going to be times that God is telling you to take that step, and you can't see where your foot's going to fall. He is just asking you to trust Him. Just like this picture of the little kid leaping because he trusts his father to catch him. He trusts him with his whole heart. That's what we have to do, is take that leap, trusting Him, because He says He will catch us, and He has never let us down and will never let us down. Here's the invitation. If you don't trust God with your whole heart today, don't leave this place without committing that to Him. If you don't know Him, I beg you, don't leave this place without knowing Him. If God is telling you to do something, trust Him. Don't leave this place without being obedient. Trust Him today. As we sing this song, this is your opportunity.
5, have faith in God. 405.
Faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone, the least of his children. Have faith in God, have faith in God. He's on his throne. Faith in God, He watches all His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Faith in God. Faith in God, when your prayers are unanswered, your heart is weak, He will never forget. His word, be patient. In God, surrender. Faith in God, He's on His throne. In God, He watches all His own. He cannot fail. must be there. Everything gone. Everything gone.
Forget that youth, 5 o'clock, leaving here to go to Pleasant Grove for the kickball and fellowship night there. Also, don't forget, next Sunday, our first fellowship out the creek. Bring your favorite food to share. Terry will be back from his vacation, so you'll be able to have a chance of possibly beating him at cornhole. So please come out there. And we're also going to be celebrating Daryl's 50th wedding anniversary to Donna. You thought I was going to forget your not mention you, didn't you? I pick at her a lot, but Daryl and Donna have been married 50 years, and they want to celebrate with us before they take off back off to Maine for the summer. So please come join us there. Bring your own chairs and everything, and just come ready to have a good time next Sunday at 6 down at the creek. Robbie, if you would come and dismiss us in prayer. And then Larry will come and open. We're going to have a business meeting immediately following the service after Rob.
Well, already said, you know, if God's telling you to do something, do it. Miss Amy, will you come up here, please? I just want you to know you was on my mind a lot last night. Because I went to Relay for Life, and Mandy said it hit her hard too. And I just want you to know that you was thought about a lot last night. And while and in my closing prayer, I want you up here. So if any of the ladies or any of the guys want to get up around her and hug on her, and because she's going through some problems and all that in the next couple of weeks, and I just want everybody to pray for her. And in my closing prayer, we're going to pray and ask God to heal you. And Kel, you'll be in the prayers too. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this message today that I already gave, Lord. And we just ask you to be with Amy and Kel as they go through their struggles and times over the next couple of months. Lord, and we just ask you to lay your hands on them and heal her. Lord, and we ask you to heal us as a church as we go through our struggles over the next little while. Lord, and we ask you to be with us going through this meeting today. Lord, and we just ask you to be with us in our path outside of these walls. Lord, and we just ask you to be with us all the time. And it's your name we pray. Amen.